Hello and welcome back to the Bye Week Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Scheel, alongside Cole Roberts. And today we're here back talking college football. What amazing college football season it has been so far. I'm so excited for the 12-team playoff. And so in this episode, first we're going to talk about our biggest surprise teams this far into the season. And then we're going to talk about our biggest losers, you know, teams that completely disappointed. And then after that, we're going to talk about our conference championship game predictions. What teams we think are going to make it to the conference championships for the Power Four conferences, and also who are going to win those conference championships. And then finally, we're going to talk about game predictions this week, go through some big matchups like Ohio State and Penn State, Louisville, Clemson, Oregon, Michigan, some good matchups like that. All right, let's start with our biggest surprise teams this far into the season. Cole, you want to start?
Well, I got to say my biggest surprise has been BYU sitting at number 9, who no one really saw coming. 8-0, currently first place in the Big 12. And I'm all about it because especially some of their early season wins that didn't look great at the time have aged really well. For instance, week 2, they beat SMU, who is unranked at the time. No one really took that one as a huge win. SMU is currently ranked, guys, right now. And they got a big win at SMU. They also beat K-State earlier in the season. And then they've beaten some teams that disappointed, such as like Arizona and Oklahoma State. But both those games, they made sure they took care of business and won them. So I've been really impressed by BYU so far. And as of right now, they're my number one surprise of the year.
You brought up BYU, and that is also one of my 3 surprises. I agree with all you said. I mean, on paper, their matchups and their wins might not look that good. But when you actually look at it, they beat an SMU, who is now a top 20 team, a team that is still competing for an ACC championship, technically. Then you got a team like Arizona, who was preseason ranked top 22, another team that was really good at the beginning of the season. They got destroyed by BYU. Oklahoma State, preseason ranked top 15, BYU beat them. So when you look back right now on their wins, it might not look that impressive. But at the time, they have some really big wins. Not to mention, I do love, you know, the Jewish QB at a Mormon school. Course, I think it's a fun little... a fun little stat, and I'm really rooting for this team at this point. And a Big 12 that I thought was really open and could potentially have a sneaky few more bids than a conference like the ACC has kind of fallen apart at the hands of BYU, because BYU was just going through and destroying these teams that were supposed to be ranked.
Yeah, 2 teams that were conference championship likelies were teams like Oklahoma State, team like Arizona, team like K-State. And they've just gone through and taken care of business. So I've been very impressed with them so far. Another team that's really impressed me has been Indiana. I think this one is a universal surprise for everyone. Coming off of a 2-win season, to see Indiana 8-0 to start the year. Now, I will preface it by saying they haven't had any super impressive wins yet. I mean, maybe their most impressive win was Nebraska, who they blew out. Washington was also a really impressive win this past weekend at home. But other than that, they really haven't had, and even those 2 teams are both not serious contenders. But at that, the fact that Indiana has started the season 8-0, I don't care who they've played. This is a team that was projected to be one of the dead last teams in the conference. So for them to start 8-0 with really solid wins, that's deserving of a top 3 surprise for me.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I mean, we must have the same list here because Indiana's on mine as well. So I might as well talk about it. A program that has historically been a laughing stock of the Big Ten is now sitting undefeated and hoping to get a spot in the college football playoffs. They seriously can get a spot in the college football playoffs. I looked it up. Their preseason total win odds were 5.5 wins, and they're already sitting at 8-0 going into week 10. You know what? College football is a sport where QB and coach, and they landed both those. Curtis Work has looked great, and Coach Cignetti is a guy, and he can really win games. We saw him at James Madison. We've seen him at Indiana now. And you see him in these interviews. He's a confident guy. He just says, you know what? I win games. That's what I do. And he really does do that. This Indiana team completely came out of nowhere. And yes, their wins probably, you know, they haven't stacked up against other, you know, top 10 teams and how good their wins are. But they still do have good wins. For example, a Nebraska team. Nebraska, that was a ranked team and has played really good teams. You know, they hardly lost to Ohio State last week. This Indiana team completely blew them out by 40. So this is a team that, yes, hasn't played the highly ranked teams, but they have good wins against teams like Nebraska and Washington. Washington, the team that beat Michigan. So you know what? This team has been such a surprise. And so I'm so happy for the city of Bloomington and for finally having a football program back, because they're a fun team to watch. And damn, do they score a lot of points too. Curtis Rourke has the best QBR in all of college football. and they're the third most points scored in all of college football. So this isn't a joke offense that just run and gun and it got lucky on their defense. This is an offense that can really put up points and is dangerous.
Yeah, totally agree. Who's your final surprise, or do you have one?
My final surprise, and this is less of a surprise, but more of a exceeded expectations even at this point. Shout out to my guys in South Florida, Miami Hurricanes. You know what? They're overachieving at this point. I wouldn't count them a surprise, but preseason ranked at number 19. We're talking about a fifth-ranked team now. A team with the best offense in the country, the most points per game in the country, most passing yards in the country, Heisman front runner at QB, and even someone who is biased. You're telling me this offense would be more efficient and put up more points than some of those SEC offenses or Big Ten offenses like Ole Miss and Oregon with those receivers that are going to be first-round draft picks? I would be surprised. So although this team was supposed to be good, I never would expect them to be this good and seriously competing for a national championship with the best offense in the country. It was a surprise.
Yeah, and I'm going to go with another team that has a lot of media buzz around them, but this team truly, I would say, is a surprise, is Colorado being ranked at this point in the season. I am one of the biggest Colorado haters, believe me. Me and my roommates, we sit around and we watch Colorado simply to hate watch. I don't like them at all, but even I have to say that I am really impressed. An early season loss to Nebraska starts to look better after a week where Nebraska almost beat Ohio State. They were leading in the fourth quarter. And this is, again, that was an early season game. You're expected to learn. But since then, they've played really well. They're sitting at 6-2. They've beaten up on Arizona. They beat up on Cincinnati, UCF, teams that are pretty well respected. So the fact that Colorado, after a 4-win season, has already exceeded that by 2 games, are ranked, and they have 2 of the best players in the country with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, I am extremely impressed. And for me, they're one of the biggest surprises of the whole season.
Yeah, I mean, shout out Boulder. For a team last year that was all hype and just couldn't back it up, they had a few good wins in the beginning of the season, then completely fell apart. This is an actually complete team now that can compete. And like we talked about BYU kind of just destroying the scene of the Big 12, Boulder has an actual chance to reach the Big 12 championship and potentially get a bid in the playoffs if they were to win out and it seemed like K-State or Iowa State were to take a unnecessary loss. I mean, this team is still in the running. Shedeur has looked amazing, and you know, like I said, this was a team last year that had a few stars and then a bunch of scrubs that no one talked about. Everyone just knew the stars. This team has actually good football players now and could compete and could beat a ranked team and could win the Big 12. I do like that take as well.
Yeah. Shall we move on to our biggest letdowns from this season?
Yeah. I'll start. I'll say Michigan. Michigan is one of the biggest letdowns for me. Coming off an undefeated, dominant season with a national championship, NFL talent across the entire roster, Michigan is now 5-3 with losses to Texas, Washington, and Illinois. Yes, we expect regression to happen, but this was a team that came in the season as the number 9 ranked team and now sitting with 3 losses and not even ranked. You know, I talked about it earlier. Me personally, I think college football is simply a QB and a coach sport. And last year, Michigan had both. This year, they have neither. They've been shuffling around quarterbacks, whether it's Orgy or
Warren
or
Tuttle.
Yeah, Jake Tuttle, Warren, and Orgy. They know they've been shuffling quarterbacks the entire time. Can't figure that out. Sharon Moore, I don't think he was the best hire. I'm one that says, you know, don't hire interim coaches. It really doesn't work out, and it doesn't seem to be working out here. So I just think this team has been really disappointing. And, you know, Michigan is a team that relies on the run, and they're a ground and pound team, and that can work. It works for some teams in the NFL, and it works for teams in college, certainly. And we saw it last year. But a big part of that run game is that you're dangerous enough to pull it in play action and actually throw it downfield. But they legit cannot this year. So every team is going to stack the box because there's no threat of a fake and a downfield throw like they could last year with McCarthy and Roman Wilson. So it's just not the same team because they're so one-dimensional and they cannot put up points.
Yeah, and I feel bad for the guys on defense because that actually is a really good defensive unit that they have.
Yeah.
It's just when your offense can't throw the ball more than 70 yards in a game, which has already happened 3 times to them, you can't expect to win games. And now that Will Johnson's injured, it's just really not looking good for them. Talk about disappointments, though. The Oklahoma Sooners, God, what has happened to them? They started the season pretty impressively. They beat Tulane, who's a Group of 5 contender. They started out SEC play with a win against Auburn. That was, you know, at least boded well. But, oh my gosh, double-digit losses to Tennessee, Texas, South Carolina, Ole Miss, they are just, they can't compete in this current SEC, and I don't know what's going on with them. This was a team that was a top 15 team earlier in the season and that I personally was really high on. I thought Oklahoma was going to be able to adjust to the SEC. Clearly not. And especially as they're playing teams who are highly ranked, which they never used to deal with in the Big 12 outside of Texas, it's just disappointing to watch. You can't beat any ranked team so far. You're losing by 25 to South Carolina. Come on now. I'm very disappointed in Oklahoma. They're one of my biggest disappointments.
Yeah, they're a dominant program, and I think it just comes down to quarterback. They can't get the quarterbacks going. Jackson Arnold, coming into the starting position after losing Dylan Gabriel, hasn't looked that good. And then throwing the freshman Michael Hawkins Jr., he's mobile, but you can't throw. And I remember watching the Red River game and just thinking, this Oklahoma team, yeah, their defense is built. They're always going to have good recruits, but this offense just is broke. It really is broke.
Yeah, and while we're staying on the topic of Oklahoma disappointments, how about OK State and how bad they've been this season?
Yeah.
They were expected to be a Big 12 conference champion. I picked them as a Big 12 conference champion. They've started 0-5 in conference play, currently sitting at 3-5. They lost to Utah, K-State, West Virginia, BYU, Baylor. Come on, guys. You have one of the best running backs in the country who literally cannot run more than 5 yards downfield because their O-line hates him, I think. This whole team is disastrous. The defense is terrible. The play calling is just hard to watch. You're looking at it and just saying, God, like this is not a functional team. The fact that somehow they convinced us and the media convinced us that this team was going to be a legit contender. Wow. I am really disappointed, especially from a team that I picked to win the Big 12 at the start of the season to now not even have a conference win yet. Yeah, really, really bad showing out of OK State.
Yeah, another one for me is Ole Miss. This was a playoff year or bust for Ole Miss. It seriously was. I mean, they had the superstar QB. They had the weapons. Trey Harris and Jordan Watkins are first, both going to be drafted. They had the number one transfer class in the country. This really was the year, and Kiffin continues to miss expectations. They lost at home as a 16-point favorite to Kentucky. You just can't have that happen. And lost to LSU. You know, I mean, LSU is a great team. That's a part of being in the SEC. You need to win those big games. They're now 5-2, and playoff chances, I guess, are still possible. But, you know, you see that classic interview with Jackson Dart, we must win out. They really do have to win out, and that means getting through Georgia as well, which would very much surprise me, knowing Kiffin's track record and how he does not compete well against tough schedules and tough teams. If they somehow pull this off, yes, they could be back, but this is a 5-2 Ole Miss team that's likely going to take at least one more loss. This was a top six team to start the season off. This has been very disappointing for a team that's just riddled with talent.
Yeah, and I like that you're bringing this up. Let's talk about another SEC disappointment, Mizzou. What is going on there? You get curb stomped by A&M at home. You're going to get curb stomped. All right, that's tough. Then you're going to get curb stomped by Bama. What are we doing here? Bama is not an impressive team. They barely eked out a win against Auburn, who is probably one of the worst SEC teams this entire season. Barely beat Boston College. Again, not a very good team. They had a win against Florida State that hyped everyone up to think Boston College was good. They're not. Florida State's not good. So Boston College has had quite the fall from grace. But God, I don't even know why Mizzou is ranked at this point. You couldn't even put up a point on Alabama and let them run up 34 on you. Nah, that for a team that was a top 10 team, I am so disappointed in Mizzou's fall from, you know, what was a very, very promising season.
Yeah, just a little side note. It is crazy that Mizzou is still ranked and a team like Vandy fell out of the ranks. Vandy lost to Texas by 3 points. Mizzou lost to Bama by 34 and they stayed in the rankings, which is absolutely absurd. Another biggest loser for me is, you know, the USC Trojans. I mean, they start off the season so strong. That win against no one was sure how the season was going to look for them. They go into the season, they beat LSU. That win against LSU completely raised the bar of expectations. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, Miller Moss is the guy. This USC team is legit. Then they just completely fell off. They just cannot figure out a way to close games. They always go into the third quarter winning games and just continue to lose. Tough loss against Michigan. Tough loss against Minnesota. Penn State game that was literally in the bag. And most recently, Maryland. Miller Moss has proven to be a talented starting QB, but USC just continues to disappoint. They need to figure out a way to be more consistent down the stretch and close out games. And whether that's a Lincoln Riley problem or a personnel issue, I'm not sure. The defense has looked a lot better, which is a positive note for this USC team. But this is a program that gets top-tier talent every single year. They shouldn't be falling four losses at this point in the season in Week 10. It's just so disappointing.
Yeah, and like you said, this actually isn't the worst team. They really held their own with Penn State, who's currently number three.
Yeah.
It's just that there's something going on once they get past that midway point in the game where they just can't hold on to their momentum, or they just piss down their pants at the very end. And it's really hard to watch because you're like, this is a talented team. I like you were saying, it's probably not a personnel issue. It's really kind of a coaching issue. Maybe it's a culture issue. I don't know which one it is, but it's really got to change, especially now that you're in the Big Ten. You're going to be facing a lot harder opponents. And especially when you have a chance to beat those harder opponents, like with Penn State, you're at home, everything in your favor. That's a really hard one to watch slip through your fingers. And then follow it up with a loss to Maryland, especially one where you had a huge lead and you got a little comfortable. This is the Big Ten. Even Maryland is a good enough team, all right? You have to take these opponents seriously. For them to not, really shows that this is maybe a culture or a coaching issue.
Yeah, and granted, I mean, you know, joining the Big Ten, and especially for USC, even more than the other teams, their schedule is very tough. But that should work in their favor. You know, they got to win some big games if they want to compete, and they just cannot finish those games out.
Yeah. Would you like to move on to some of the predictions for this weekend's game? I picked out three or four games that I'd like to give my predictions for. Would you like to give your prediction first?
Yeah. I picked like five or six games, but we'll just go through them, and the ones that you have as well, we can talk about. All right. So let's start with the biggest game of the week and one of the biggest games of the season, a massive rivalry. OSU goes into Happy Valley. What do you think?
No, I specifically in my predictions didn't pick this game because I don't like to give a prediction on the team that I'm a fan of, the school that I go to. I really want to say that Ohio State's going to win this game. I really want to. So I'm going to say that. But but I do understand that it's a really tough environment to walk into. They're going with the quote-unquote helmet stripe game, which is just a whiteout where you have one section that's blue in the stadium because they're like, oh, it looks like our helmet. Just call it a whiteout, guys. Let's not be weird about this. And then Big Noon kickoff, all eyes are going to be on this game. Luckily, it's at least not a night game. I'll give it that. But Ohio State has lost a lot of O-linemen. It's scary how bad their O-line was. We couldn't run the ball in our last game. You have arguably the second and third best running backs in all of college football, and you can muster up 2 yards a carry for 60 yards.
That's absurd.
What are we doing here, guys? Against Nebraska? Come on. So I'm going to say Ohio State is going to learn how to game plan around their new losses in their O-line, but I'm not too confident in this one.
Yeah. I think this is also a really tough game, but honestly, I think that Penn State is not deserving of the third overall rank in the country. I think Ohio State goes into Happy Valley like they always do, and they beat up on Penn State. And this Penn State team is still great, but Ohio State just has so much talent on both sides of the field. And yes, recent struggles for Ohio State is valid, but I think they win this. Cole, do you have any idea what the betting odds are? I was trying to look that up. I'm just curious.
Ohio State is currently favored by 2.5 points heading into the game.
Okay, so 2.5, I mean, let's be honest, it's pretty much an even spread, and I think Ohio State wins it, so I think they cover as well.
Yeah, I hope they do. I hope they're able to figure it out. Chip Kelly needs to learn how to game plan with the way the offense currently is, and I really hope he'll figure it out.
And you need to be able to establish the run, and Will Howard just can't make mistakes. He's got to just be a game manager like he is.
I'm not going to give a score prediction for that game because I don't feel like that's right, but I will say that I think it will be an Ohio State victory. Emphasis on think, because I really thought we were going to beat Oregon too, and it looks like we were going to, and then that's a whole other story. I'm not going to get into that, otherwise I'm going to get angry.
Okay, how do you feel about Pittsburgh on the road to Southern Methodist?
I think that this is a Pitt win, and this is one of the ones I predicted. I think it's going to be a 34-17 game because I really like the way Pitt's playing right now. Definition of gritty team is Pitt right now. Some of their games end up being pretty close, especially against like rival West Virginia. That was a close game, but they're gritty every single game. They, the exact opposite of USC, where they kind of lose it at the end. God, Pitt is a great team where they just fight through at the end. I think it's going to be a little overwhelming for an SMU team that I don't think is that tough, and I think they've had an easier schedule than what Pitt's been playing against. So I'm going to give this one to Pitt because I think they're going to come in a lot more prepared. I think they're going to really want to fight for this because they've got the world at their back right now. They're one of the biggest surprises of the year. I'm surprised neither of us talked about them. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, give me Pitt in this game.
Yeah. I mean, I saw Pitt against Syracuse last week, and damn, they are gritty, and they run through the ball, they get pick sixes. They are a really good team, such an underrated team. With that said, I think they lose on the road to SMU, crushing the undefeated season, because I also do think SMU is a good team. Even after that clunky game last week against Duke, I've seen SMU play some good games, and I guess I have with Pitt as well, but, you know, sometimes you got to make a prediction, and my prediction is that Pitt loses road to SMU. And,
we went very different directions in that one.
Yeah. I know I'm seeing it as SMU favored by 7. Could that be?
No, it can't be that. No. Well, all right. While you're looking that up, I'd like to talk about Oregon at Michigan. First off, can we just start by saying, how does Michigan get every tough game at home? I'm getting really confused by this. They get SC at home. They get Texas at home. Now they're getting Oregon at home. The only away game that they're going to have to play this year that's tough is against Ohio State. I mean, I don't know why Michigan's getting all these home games where they'd get obliterated on the road. Anyway, I think they're going to get obliterated at home by Oregon. I've got it at 52-10 because, oh my God, the Oregon defense is great. And oh my God, the Michigan offense is terrible. And especially with Will Johnson maybe not going to be playing, this Michigan team is going to get run over by Oregon's offense. Yeah, give me 52-10. And I thought I was being a little gracious with that because I just see them running it up and not giving up a whole lot of points.
Yeah, so I have some stuff to add on to the Oregon game as well, but I will fact check here, bro. Pittsburgh, on two different websites, is +7.5. SMU is -7.5, which sounds insane to me, maybe just because they're both relatively similar and SMU's at home, but the SMU environment can't be that damn good. But I guess SMU is the one that's favored here. So I'll take SMU. You know, he wants Pitt. I'll take SMU. But so in regards to this Oregon-Michigan game, you pretty much said it's a very simple game, I think, to analyze. Oh, Oregon's offense is pretty insane. Oregon's defense is pretty insane. Michigan offense is absolutely terrible, bro. I think this Michigan defense could play a great game and they could still get blown out. Like, honestly, just because I think the time of possession will be astonishingly Oregon, even with Michigan running, which is a free way to get the time of possession stat up. I think it will still be so much of Oregon's ball. And this Michigan offense, I mean, you know how Oregon is game planning right now. All right, bro, put every person in the box. This team cannot throw. They have no quarterback. They switch them every two plays. The receivers are trash. Colson Loveland is fine, but it's not enough. I think I'm going to say it's 45-14.
All right. Another game I'd like to talk about is Indiana at Michigan State. And this is my, you know, big call of the week, but I'm going to say Michigan State wins this one 24-27. 27-24. But yeah, I think that they're going to, especially at home, coming off of a week where they barely lost to Michigan, I think they're going to come in with a whole lot of fight in them. And this is a team that has been pretty solid throughout the season. They've had a few good wins here and there. They beat Maryland, who's, you know, not to be underrated as a team. And I'm going to take Michigan State to finally be the ones to take down Indiana, just because I don't think Indiana has been tested enough up to this point. And I'm going to take Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, I do like that take. And I think Michigan State is a good team. I mean, I put them relatively – I mean, I have a question for you, honestly. If it was Indiana-Michigan at Indiana, who would you pick?
Probably Indiana.
Yeah, I would as well. I honestly think at this point, Michigan State and Michigan, I'm like, they're not that far apart, in my opinion. But that doesn't mean that I think Indiana's worse. I think Indiana's much better than both the Michigan teams at this point. Mm-hmm. And Michigan State, yeah, I like Aiden Childs. I think this team could have easily won against Michigan last week. You know, it was close the entire game. I'll keep it with Cignetti. And I like the story. And, you know, I'm kind of rooting for the Hoosiers. And as someone who You know, loved the school of Indiana. The only downfall for me really was that football wasn't good enough, which is pretty ironic now because football is great. Yeah. So I'm rooting for them. You know what? Let's do it.
That's nice. All right. What other games would you like to discuss?
How about Louisville on the road against Clemson?
This is a game that, and I'm going to talk about Clemson later when we get to some other topics, but I'm going to take Clemson in this game. I just think that they are a far superior team, even though Louisville, solid little team. There's levels to the ACC, and Clemson's level above right now.
Yeah, we've been disagreeing a lot, but I'll completely agree on this one. Louisville's good, and we've seen them play well against, you know, teams like Notre Dame. It was a close game, but yeah, there's levels, and this Clemson team has one loss against the best team in the country, and ever since then they've just been absolutely railing teams. So you know, Klubnik looks good. This team's always good, and I think there's for sure levels, and Clemson will they'll put up some points against Louisville. But I will say Louisville has a pretty good offense. I think Louisville covers. I'll say that.
All right.
But yeah, Clemson wins.
All right. Another game that I think we should talk about, probably not going to be super competitive, but huge rivalry, world's largest cocktail party. I'm going to take Georgia to beat Florida 38-17, which might be a little closer, but I mean, that's still a 3-score game. But I think Florida's offense has enough oomph in it to put up 17 against Georgia's defense. And I think Georgia's not going to necessarily run away with the game per se. 38-17 isn't close. I mean, that's still 20 points. But yeah, I'm going to take it to not be an utter blowout like many seem to expect.
So I was writing this one up and I was really hyped to talk about it because this is my big hot take here. And it's not an insane take. It's not as crazy as you might think I'm going to say. But I say, you know, Florida goes in, it's in Athens, you know, Florida goes on the road and they don't win, but it's a 1-score game against UGA. I seriously think
it's in Jacksonville, actually.
Gotcha. Okay. So, well, that's even better for this point.
Yeah.
For Florida. I think that, you know, UGA is an excellent team, but Florida in recent weeks has been looking better. This is a Florida team that could have easily beat Tennessee. They were right there and they missed it. And that would have been a huge win for them. I mean, they have the actual gauntlet on their schedule. It is like literally hell. Yeah. So it's hard to even figure out where Florida stacks up against other competition because you look at their record and you're like, well, what? They're even record. But they're a better team than that. I seriously do think. And I think that, damn, this Lagway guy is going to be good. And hopefully he transfers to Miami. That's what I'm thinking. But yeah, I think this Florida team is actually starting to move forward. I think that what's the head coach's name? Napier, or is that FSU?
Billy Napier.
Yeah, Napier. Napier. I think Napier might be gone after this year. I'd be surprised if he's not. But this Florida team is moving in the right direction, I feel like, and they're starting to actually look like an SEC opponent. And this Georgia team has been open to, you know, teams in the SEC that seem like lesser competition, keeping it close, as in Mississippi State, Kentucky. So I think this Florida team, they come out hot. And they keep it close. Georgia wins it. I'm going to say 35-28.
All right. So we both have it being a closer game, but you have it being a 1-score game.
Yes.
That'll be an interesting game to see how it turns out. You have any more game predictions for this week that you think we should talk about?
I have one more. It's not that big of a deal. I said Tennessee versus Kentucky. I think Tennessee wins, but I think it's a low-scoring affair. I'm starting to, you know, lose the love of the Vols. I think that they're getting a little overrated at this point. I think that Nico, that he's great, but he needs some time to develop and still can't really read the field that well. And even with their great weapons, Nico just, they can't, the offense is not as good as I would have imagined it would have been. And so I think they beat Kentucky in a low scoring affair. That's what I'll say.
All right. I didn't make a prediction for that one, but I will take Tennessee in that one. But don't sleep on Kentucky. They've been the giant killers this year. Nearly upset Georgia, defeated Ole Miss in Oxford. So that was pretty cool. But I'll stick with the Vols in this one. All right. So our last segment today will be championship game predictions for the Power Four.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just go alphabetical here. Start with ACC. Who you got?
I got Miami versus Clemson. I think that's a pretty popular rivalry in the AC championship, and I'm gonna say Miami wins. Sue me.
Oh, see, you know I've been a big Clemson defender this year.
Yeah,
and Miami's looked very fraudulent in a few games. Let's Virginia Tech probably shouldn't have won, but we'll just ignore that one. Barely beat Cal the week after that. But and Clemson's been taking care of business. Outside of a rough Georgia game to start the year, Clemson's been pretty freaking dominant.
Yeah, so, that's true.
But I do think this will be a super high-scoring game. I will say that because both these teams light up the scoreboard. I'm going to say Clemson wins it 45-42.
Ooh, that would be a really fun game. I think Miami wins. I don't have a score prediction, but I just want to have a little side note here. Yes, I think that as much as those games are alarming against, you know, VT and Cal and even Louisville was close, I'm not familiar with a single team in college football that hasn't had a couple close games against bad teams. Is there a single one? Like, I think it's just the way life works, and the good teams, the ones that end up winning those games, and those games are inevitable, and you just got to find a way to freaking win. That's what I said. Yeah.
And credit to them. They have not found a way to lose yet.
So yeah, true.
They keep winning.
Even Oregon, bro, they started off horrible this season.
Yeah, but the Boise State close game has aged really well.
That is true. For both teams, actually, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Now moving on to the Big 12. Who do you got in that one?
The Big 12, I got BYU against K-State. And this will be an undefeated BYU against, I would assume, a one-loss K-State because they already have one loss. And I'm going to say Kansas State wins it. They take the BYU loss right at the end of the season. Kansas State gets on, go gets a bye.
All right. I'm going to say that it's going to be BYU versus Iowa State. I'm going to say Iowa State wins that one 30-17. I really like Iowa State right now. I feel like, again, we've talked a lot about gritty teams. They might be the grittiest of them all. They just keep finding ways to win. But yeah, I'm going to give Iowa State the nod on that one. I do like that we both have BYU in there because they definitely deserve to at least get a championship game appearance. All right, moving on. Big 10.
The Big 10, I'm going to go Ohio State versus Oregon.
I've got the same matchup. I will not be given a prediction.
And I think
Ohio State's going to win.
I think that Oregon's going to win. I truly believe that Oregon is a very complete team.
If it was a one-point game at Autzen, how do you think it's going to be when it's at a neutral, quote-unquote neutral site, because it's in Indianapolis, which is like 3 hours away from us here. And we are known for not losing in the Big Ten Championship. That's kind of what we do, is we dominate in that game. Like every year, even against, go back to like 10 years, like Wisconsin, when they were favored every single time, and we'd go in there and just beat the ever-living crap out of them. Ohio State doesn't lose that game.
It's a new era. Never played Oregon in it.
And Oregon's going to learn what Big Ten Championship Ohio State is all about.
Yeah, that's true. I'll give a score prediction just off the top of my head. Both offenses are pretty damn impressive. I'm going to say 45-31. Oregon wins by two possessions. Okay, let's go last one in the Southeast.
I've got Georgia versus A&M in that game. Give me Georgia 35-31.
I got Georgia, Texas. I think Georgia runs over them again. I'm starting to, as much like I said about Tennessee, I'm starting to discredit Texas a little much as well, just because I think Ewers has not been playing that good, and they can't establish the run, and the defense is pretty good, but yeah, they haven't looked that great. And I think this Georgia team, like that loss against Bama, that was like a fluky game for Bama, because Bama's been looking bad. Like, I think that this Georgia team, like, that was a nice wake up call for them, and they might be the best team in the country right now.
Yeah. And well, I think it's funny you're saying that Texas will be in that game, because last game of the season will be the battle for Texas, the Lone Star Showdown, where I actually have A&M beating Texas in that game to go on to the SEC championship. I'm really high on A&M right now.
Yeah.
After a bad loss to start the year, they've been nothing but excellent.
Yeah, I mean, A&M has looked great. I mean, that LSU win was huge. And like just as you were saying, like, you know, sometimes it's that last game that really means everything. You know, I was talking about the Big 12 championship. You have Iowa State, I have K-State. That's what it's going to come down to. The last game of the season, K-State plays Iowa State. Obviously, Iowa State, you know, they're better ranked-wise right now. As long as they win, they're in. But if K-State goes to and beats Iowa State, K-State will likely get in over Iowa State. So that's my thought there.
Yeah. And what a great rap for me, man. Farmageddon.
I've never heard that. Farmageddon. I like it.
Really?
That. Yeah.
It's wheat versus corn, the battle of the century. Those two teams hate each other. It's great stuff. All right.
Do that, well,
Do you have anything more to share this podcast?
No, I just want to say thank you guys for listening. And we're loving the college football. We've both been getting really into college football. So hopefully you guys are liking the content. And, you know, peace out. Hopefully we'll see you guys soon and keep listening.
All right. See you guys.
See you guys.